back with Nikki Dubs. we're talking today in the second of our five episodes about Ohio cannabis law as it relates to businesses and business owners. And today we're talking about ancillary businesses, meaning, well, why don't I let you talk? How would you define an ancillary business for purposes of this conversation?
Sure. An ancillary business for the purposes of this conversation is any business that is either directly doing business with a medical marijuana business or is doing business in a business that's not quite medical marijuana but is subject to a lot of the same rules and regulations, or at the very least a lot of the same criteria and cautions that they should be aware of. So for that, I'm specifically talking about the emerging hemp and CBD industry. Here in Ohio, you know, we expect the Ohio Hemp Bill, which passed unanimously in one chamber and with near unanimously a few days ago, to be signed by Governor Mike DeWine, and that's going to really put Ohio's hemp and CBD businesses off to the races. So I'm going to be talking about both of those because the overlap on the ancillary businesses is pretty strong and going to be subject to a lot of the same criteria.
So these ancillary businesses, it almost sounds like there are two buckets here. One is companies doing business with the cultivators, processors, et cetera. And then the other bucket is businesses that fall under the same regulations as cultivators, processors, et cetera.
But like it's not quite marijuana. Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
So I guess I would, for the folks listening at home, obviously they will know which of those buckets they fall into, but to the extent that any of our questions have different answers based on which bucket they fall into, I'm sure you'll let us know. But so it sounds like the first question I'm going to ask you might just apply to that first bucket,
sure.
Right? Businesses doing business with the cultivators, the processors, and the dispensaries, okay, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a B2B business, right? I sell packaging, or I sell transportation, or I sell employee benefits, whatever, to other businesses. How can I service the medical marijuana industry?
So those examples that you gave are really, really great examples for this because of all of the different and very strict regulations that are put on the medical marijuana industry in Ohio. So let's take your first example, that packaging, that packaging company. There is an incredibly long and detailed list of regulations that medical marijuana companies have to abide by in packaging their product at the cultivator level, at the processor level, going through to the testing, to the dispensary, and then being distributed. And for most businesses, they don't want to and can't do this kind of thing in-house. So if you are in the packaging business, this is a great opportunity for you to be one of the servicers of this group. If you can familiarize yourself with the requirements set out by the Ohio Administrative Code as to what needs to be on this packaging, and the restrictions that are put on there, you can be in a position to be a specialist in this growing field to service these different groups. And this goes as well for transportation. For those of you in the transportation industry, particularly those of you in the security industry, this is going to sound very familiar to you. Transporting marijuana products has about the same amount of restrictions to it as transporting cash in an armored vehicle. So we're on about the same level of security, level of record keeping, and costs that are associated with the transport of this product. So if you are already in security transportation, and that can be for cash or that could be for other controlled substances, you're already ahead of the game. These regulations are going to look very familiar to you in terms of what you have to comply with. There are some nuances, certainly, but there are already companies who have been able to make this transition. One of the individuals that we work with here at the firm, Tim Dimoff, who provides consulting services for a whole bunch of different medical marijuana companies, is one of those individuals who is able to use his existing security background to really take advantage not only of the transportation for medical marijuana companies, but also the security apparatus that they're going to need. And the final example that you gave was employment. And again, this is a really great opportunity for any kind of HR staffing, backroom business, back of the house company. And we work with a couple of them. We've been in contact with a couple of the different insurers of the cannabis industry, and I'll talk about that in a separate podcast. But far and away, where cannabis companies are falling down is not necessarily in complying with the specific regulations for cannabis, for the Board of Pharmacy, for the Department of Commerce, for all that, but in basic employee handling. You know, they do have a lot of criteria, especially when we talk about type 1 and type 2 employees, which we'll talk about when we talk about dispensaries. But I'm going to make some generalizations here. The people with experience in the cannabis industries are coming out of an illegal industry. They're coming out of the black market. If they have knowledge of this, they're not from Colorado or Oregon or another state that's had an existing marijuana industry going for a while, we are talking about people who were until recently criminals. They are not generally up on their HR law. This is a great opportunity for HR companies, back of the house companies, to help them with that, to be that resource for them to comply with the basic stuff, with the FMLA, with the ADA, with the Ohio's minimum wage rules, with making sure there's accurate timekeeping. These are the same nuts and bolts stuff that a normal business deals with the added complication that they're all dealing in an illegal product.
Right. So tons and tons of opportunity out there for folks who run businesses, who now can work with a whole lot of brand new companies in a brand new industry that didn't even exist a year or two ago, right? So what are the we talked a little bit about the consequences in our last episode, which folks you're going to want to listen to, because part of our discussion in the first episode about employers dealt with consequences of working with businesses that allow or sell medical marijuana. So to the extent that we didn't cover it already in that episode, Nick, what are some of the consequences?
Sure. And I'm going to talk about this very briefly just because we did talk about it more in the other episodes. There are financial risks and insurance risks and tax risks that you take when you deal with a marijuana business that you aren't taking with another business. We talked about Bank Secrecy Act in the last podcast about how potentially any money that you receive from these businesses could be flagged as money laundering. But also we got to talk about insurance. If you are too close to a medical marijuana company, and there's conflicting case law on this, and you're doing business with those that are buying or selling an illegal product, there's case law on this that says public policy demands that your insurance should not be enforceable because it is dealing with an illegal product. Now, if you're a couple of steps removed from the medical marijuana industry, you're probably okay. But if you're working with them intimately, so like that back of the house HR company, you know, you're involved in the business of selling marijuana. Your insurance is potentially at risk because you are involved in the dealing of a federally illegal substance. And the final thing I'll talk about, and this is something that marijuana industry in particular is already very familiar with, Is this going to affect your ability to deduct certain expenses on your taxes? 480E, I believe, is the Internal Revenue Code on this. That says, you know, if you're involved in the buying, selling, transportation of an illegal product, you cannot deduct ordinary necessary business expenses, period. The only thing that you're allowed to deduct is the cost of goods sold.
And that applies to the dispensaries and cultivators and processors, or does it also apply to businesses that do business with those guys?
Well, it depends on how intimately you're involved. So if you're part of the business, and I keep hammering on the HR guys because, you know, we so often this goes into joint employer liability when you have, you know, multiple entities that can claim that they are the employer of someone. They're involved in the marijuana business. And so if you have gotten to that point where you can't really extricate yourself from that, your deductions could be at risk under federal tax law because you can't deduct those ordinary and necessary business expenses. For most businesses, that's not going to be an issue. If you're providing, you know, if you're providing that packaging, for example, or the advertising, for example, you're probably going to be separated enough that this isn't going to be an issue. But I got to qualify that we don't have good case law on this. You know, this is new enough that this hasn't really been tested. Are these groups that are doing business with marijuana businesses involved enough in the sale of marijuana that they shouldn't be allowed to deduct their ordinary and necessary business expenses? That's a question that hasn't been tested yet.
Yeah, it's like anything else, right? You get in early, there's more risk, but there's a lot of reward.
That's absolutely
true. Because you're a pioneer.
Yeah.
Nick, we talked earlier about that second bucket. You mentioned CBD oil and you mentioned hemp. So let's talk about that. First and foremost, legal or illegal?
Okay, so federally, is so long as you have less than 0.3% THC in your marijuana product, that is legal. The only difference between these products is the level of THC in these products. So hemp and CBD are defined at the federal level and at the state level as anything less than 0.3% THC in them. Whereas anything greater than 0.3% THC is marijuana, whether it's medical marijuana, which is something that's through Ohio's scheme, or illegal cannabis, it doesn't make any difference. That's the legal definition between hemp and marijuana, which is important because every other definition and attempt to distinguish the two doesn't make any sense. Hemp and marijuana is the same plant. The same way that a schnauzer and a golden retriever are both dogs, okay? It's that kind of distinction. And so the only reasonable way to define these is by the level of THC that's in them.
So what's the difference in how they are regulated in Ohio?
Sure. So in Ohio recently, Governor DeWine signed the hemp legislation into law, which says that any product, you know, from cannabis that's less than 0.3% THC is not governed by any criminal statute. It is not cannabis. It does not fall under the medical marijuana program. It's totally outside of that regulatory scheme. And the state is currently in the process of creating regulations for hemp and for CBD and for industries that want to get involved and for businesses that want to get involved. Those regulations are not out yet, even in draft form. But that's the difference. One is criminal per se, unless it is in the medical marijuana program, and the other is lawful with regulations coming. So if you are either already in that business or you're looking to get into that business, now is the time to jump on while these regulations are being made.
So how can I, as an entrepreneur, take advantage of CBD and hemp business opportunities?
Sure. So hemp, especially in Ohio, is going to be the big one. Hemp does not require very good soil. It does not require a lot of the same work that traditional agriculture requires. This is a weed. This will grow in most places. If you have any kind of contact with Ohio's agricultural community, farmers, even some guys who have some agriculturally zoned land, this is an opportunity to really get into growing this product, processing this product, selling this product. And there are a lot of uses and applications that some existing businesses are already taking advantage of. I mean, you can buy hemp products, even though they're illegal under Ohio law, at a lot of different places here. And that's only going to expand.
Talk to a lawyer first, folks.
Yes.
Nick, this was super helpful. I emailed you the other day about the Ohio Chamber, or it's the Ohio Cannabis Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, and I highly recommend, if you're thinking about getting into this area, to look into the Ohio Cannabis Chamber of Commerce. It's in Columbus. There are a couple of different chambers that you can look into. There's the Cannabis and Hemp Chamber of Commerce, but both of those are really great resources that you can use to talk with the existing members. Find out where opportunities for investment are, or if you have your own ideas that you want someone to invest in, find investors there who are willing to support you.
Well, and let me put in a shameless plug for the firm here, Nick. I mean, one of the things we pride ourselves on here is being way more than just business lawyers. No pun intended here, but we really view ourselves as business growers. And so... You personally, in fact, have a lot of exposure to businesses in this area, and you are, as I said in the first episode, totally immersed in Ohio cannabis law. So you are really a good connector at this point and a great resource. And so folks should get a hold of you if they have questions, and this we can repeat from our first episode. They should get a hold of you by calling you at...
My direct line is 440-528-1233, or you can email me. My email is nweiss@gertzberglaw.com.
And you're going to want to go back to that first episode. We talk more about Nick. And you're going to want to stay tuned for the next three episodes that will be coming out in subsequent weeks, where Nick will be talking about Ohio cannabis law relating to dispensaries, processors, and cultivators. Nick, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Alex.
These 10-minute legal talks are brought to you by the Gertzberg Law Firm, changing the character of the attorney-client relationship in business from a cost center to a trusted advisor. Drawing from their complex litigation and transactional experiences as members of large law firms, in-house counsel, and as business owners themselves, the Gertzberg Law Firm's award-winning attorneys provide clients the benefit of business lawyers with real-life business experience in a wide variety of industries. These talks are not intended to create an attorney-client relationship or to provide legal advice. If you have questions about your particular legal situation, you should contact a legal professional. To reach one of our business law or estate planning attorneys, visit www.gertzberglaw.com or call us at 440-571-7777.
Oh, God. What was the other nickname we came up with? Oh, it was NPW5.
That was it, yes. That one's more of a of like a password that I would use inappropriately. But the second one, yeah.
Now, folks, don't go trying that pass. Now you got to change all your passwords.
It's 12345.
Are you very familiar with the other four preceding Nicholas Prescott Weisses?
I am not, because it stretches over back to the 1840s. So that's the, yeah.
How are you not making it like, I mean, I would love to how many of them are alive?
None of them. No. They're all dead. But the first immigrant from Switzerland, Nicholas Weiss, I've actually been to his grave. That's over in Wayne County. Where the Weiss farm was. We were very much cheese making Swiss, not watch making Swiss. Okay. My grandfather informs me that there is a difference, and I'm supposed to dislike the watch making Swiss, but I don't have it in me.
That's ridiculous. This long running feud between the cheesemakers and the watchmakers.
I don't even think like the actual Swiss have this, but my grandfather assures me that it's a thing.
Do you know if they have any like pejorative words for each other?
I will find out. I'm gonna make some if they don't.
Those damn clock tickers. What?
Go polish some gears.
Cheeseheads. Oh, that's silly.